Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word.
Thank you, son. I know that you enjoyed Ray's singing last week. Well, he's out of town again, so I'll be presenting the lesson this week. But let's at least hear one song.
Well, there are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so. But I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment he forgave me, he took away my heavy burdens, and he gave me peace within. Say, don't ever make me doubt it, it's real, I'm gonna shout it. For I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Now I don't care who tells me salvation is not real. Though the world may argue, they say we cannot fail. But the heavy burden's lifted, the vile sins are gone. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment he forgave me, he took away my heavy burdens, and he gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it, it's real, I'm gonna shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know.
I want to take a minute to remind everyone that this is the Christmas season, a time to be especially mindful of the gift God gave his only son. Let's don't get so caught up in the hustle and bustle that we forget that Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, today we're going to look at the second of the seven motivational gifts that are listed in Romans, the 12th chapter, and you'll find them in verses 6 through 8. But in particular, we're looking at verse 7 that says, "Let us wait on our ministering." That's in the King James Version. In the New International Version, it says, "If it is serving, let him serve." And in the Amplified Version, it says, "He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving." And so we see that the King James uses the term ministry, the NIV uses the word service, and the Amplified uses the words practical service, giving us the ideal of doing practical things in order to be of service to others. And so that is why we call it the gift of serving. So as we study this gift, we will see that the server receives joy in helping, assisting, carrying out instructions, being of use in a wide variety of ways. And as we go through these characteristics, be sure to have the worksheet ready. Remember, it's available for download on our website. Okay, the first characteristic is they easily recognize practical needs and are quick to meet them. You know, a server can spot a need a mile away. It's as though they have a built-in radar geared to others' necessities and they're highly motivated to do something about those needs. You can spot a server easily at a church function. Just check to see who is regularly making preparations, who's setting up and tearing down, and even making sure that the cleanup is complete. That is the server. Characteristic 2, especially enjoys manual projects, jobs, and functions. The server is the person of all the motivational gifts that seem to have the most dexterity, which is the ability to work well with their hands. That's why they're called the hands of the body. They can do just about anything that involves manual labor. For example, artistic endeavors, fixing things, carpentry, plumbing, electrical work, sewing, cooking, gardening, and we could go on and on. This is the part that shows their gift of serving. Characteristic 3, keeps everything in meticulous order. You know, servers cannot stand clutter, dirt, or disorganization. Have you ever met that woman who dusts every day, that never has dirty dishes in her sink? Their laundry is always folded and put away the day that it's washed. The beds are made immediately upon getting up, and they're the ones that you can drop in on at any time, day or night, and the house is always ready for company. This woman is gifted in serving. Now, the man with the gift of serving is the one who keeps their closets in order. You know, all the shirts together by color, all the pants together by colors. Their sock drawers are just for socks, and they're never put in the wrong drawer. And you can always see the top of their desk. Every tool will be hanging on the right hook on the pegboard. And you know, they will have a schedule for mowing the lawn, and you will never see weeds in their flower bed. Characteristic number 4 is a detailed person with a good memory. You know, servers have a memory for details. They can remember where they filed away an article they clipped out of a magazine 3 years ago. And they're the ones that can remember just how you like your coffee, with cream and sugar, or with sugar and no cream, or with cream and no sugar. They can remember one time. They also remember all the birthdays on both sides of the family, and they even remember to send the card that they bought. Characteristic number 5, servers enjoy showing hospitality. They are the ones who will be the ones who will more than likely open their homes for visiting missionaries or ministries. They love to entertain people. And you know, they're the ones that actually look for opportunities to invite others over for dinner or coffee, and they will always make their guest feel at home. Characteristic number 6, they will stay with something until it's done. Servers finish what they start. This is something a server will always attempt to do. When they say they will do something, you can rest assured they will do it. But if you want to frustrate a server, ask them to do something in too short of a time, because not only do they desire to finish what they start, but they also want to do it well. Characteristic number 7, servers have a hard time saying no to requests for help. Why? Because they're naturally helpful, and they know they're good at helping. It's hard for them to say no to a request for help, even in a course of conversation. For example, do you know what to use for a clog drain? And this is the reply that a server would give. Let me come and look at it. And before he even takes time to think about it, the server will be under the person's sink with a wrench in hand and the drain tore apart. Now, here's some good advice for the server. Listen to God and learn to check with Him so you don't get overloaded. And learn that it's okay to say no. Characteristic number 8. A server is more interested in meeting needs of others than their own needs. Why? Because servers are a caring people. They are the ones who put others before themselves. Characteristic number 9, they enjoy working on immediate goals rather than long-term goals. They're the ones that the short-term projects are what they prefer. They would rather do something that takes 2 hours than something that takes 2 weeks or months. They enjoy things that they can sink their teeth into immediately and accomplish in a foreseeable time frame. The long-term goals, they gladly leave for the administrator. In the Bible, Martha was the person that saw the immediate goal. Jesus needed a meal. Mary saw the long-term goal, her need to learn from him. Stephen was an appointed deacon with the responsibility for providing for widows, while the apostles saw to the long-term goals of spreading the gospel. And you know, if you have a child that is gifted in the area of serving, here's a suggestion. Instead of giving them a list of chores to do on Saturday, give them one job at a time. Then, after seeing how well they've done, ask him, would he do another? And you know what? You'll be surprised. They'll probably work all day long helping you if you'll go at it in that manner. Characteristic number 10, shows love for others in deeds and actions more than words. Servers believe actions speak louder than words. They express their love by what they do. Their thought process is, it's easy to say, I love you, but the person you're saying it to may never really know if you mean it. But if they can do something for that person, they will know you love them in action, not just in word. Number 11, servers need to feel appreciated. Servers don't serve in order to be praised, but when appreciation is shown, it assures them that they've done a good job. It helps them to build a positive self-image, and it brings joy in the serving. Number 12, they tend to do more than ask to do. Simply put, servers enjoy the doing so much, they often don't want to stop. Number 13, feels great joy in doing something that is helpful. Number 14, they do not want to lead others or projects. Servers are not leaders. They are followers. God made them that way. And you know, they'll become frustrated if a leadership position is forced on them. But the rest of us find it tempting to turn leadership over to a server because they do such a good job at whatever they do. But when thrust into leadership, they generally lose their joy, and ultimately frustration comes for them and those who they are trying to lead. Number 15, has a high energy level. Fast forward seems to be the one speed servers have. Servers seems to be blessed with a boundless amount of energy. Look at 1 Peter 4:11 in the Amplified. It says, whoever renders service, let him do it as with the strength which God furnishes abundantly. And most servers seem to have unusual endurance and often can get by with less sleep than the average person. Well, we suppose God gave servers all this energy because they are the doers and there's so much they need to get done. Number 16, they cannot stand to be around clutter. Servers are the ones you will hear say, I can't leave the office until my desk gets clean, or I can only sit down and watch TV after my house is clean, or even I can't stand to go to my friend's house because I want to dig in and put things away. They are the ones who will straighten a crooked picture frame, even if it's on your wall. Number 17, they tend to be perfectionist. Servers do whatever they do well. They want things to be just right and are willing to put forward the work toward that end. In the other gifts, perfectionism would be a sign of abnormal behavior. But the server has been created a perfectionist for God's purposes. Someone in the body of Christ needs to exhibit this trait in positive and balanced ways. For number 18, they view serving to be of primary importance in life. To the server, serving is the essence of Christianity. To them, anything less is mere words. Jesus' example and teaching on the importance of having a servant's heart reinforces his conviction that serving is the greatest activity of all. You know, the thing here is that the server must be careful not to insist that others feel the same way. Remember, each gift thinks its type of functioning is the most important of all. Number 19, they prefer doing a job to delegating it. Servers not only desire to do the job themselves, but feel guilty if they don't. Therefore, they find it hard to delegate. Number 20, they support others who are in leadership. The server is the one who makes a wonderful secretary, vice president, or committee member. They are incredibly loyal to those they serve under. They will burn the midnight oil to be sure that a project is finished. They want to see those they support succeed. Well, usually here we would cover the problem areas for the servers, but there's some exceptions to the rule that people will function best in the motivational gift God has given them. And here's what I want you to really get a hold of. When God calls you to do a job outside the sphere of your motivational gift, He will also give you an anointing that will enable you to do that job. Always remember that the anointing supersedes the giftedness. Let's look at Moses. If you were God and you wanted to deliver several million people from slavery, you probably would choose someone with the gift of administration. They would organize the Exodus in a super efficient manner. But that is not what God did. He called a server, Moses, to do that job. Let's look and see what gift Moses had and what he lacked. Number one, what was Moses' response when God called him? Let's go over to Exodus, the third chapter, and let's look at verse 11. But Moses said unto God, Who am I that I would go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the sons of Israel out of Egypt? You know, if Moses had been a natural leader, he would have been excited about that project. Great, Lord! When do we get started? But as a server, Moses had no desire for leadership. He had no confidence in his own ability to tackle the job. Number two, Moses was not so much as giving an excuse as stating a fact. Let's read what he said in Exodus 4 and 10. He said, O Lord, I am not eloquent or a man of words, for I am slow of speech and have a heavy and awkward tongue. How many times have some of us felt like that? We see here that Moses was well aware of his own limitations. A server usually has little capacity for speaking in front of a group. But God has a solution for the problem. As we read in Exodus 4, He said, Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He will speak for you to the people, acting as a mouthpiece for you. So, undoubtedly, Aaron had one of the speaking gifts. Number three, the people were unable to recognize any natural leadership qualities in Moses. They didn't always follow him eagerly, as evidenced by their constant murmuring and complaining. In Exodus 16 and 3 we read, For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And you know, a administrator with a charismatic personality would have been able to rally their wholehearted allegiance. But Moses was a server. Moses, like most servers, tried to do the job all by himself. It was his administrator father-in-law, Jethro, who bailed him out of this predicament we find in Exodus 18. Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from the morning until the evening. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "Why do you alone sit as judge?" You know, it never dawned on Moses that there might be a better way to organize the handling of the cases that were brought to him. But Jethro saw it immediately. Because in verse 18, it says, "You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone." And then the plan Jethro gave Moses is the plan upon which the judicial system of the United States was based. Jethro told Moses to instruct the people clearly about God's statutes and laws, then select godly men and delegates to hear the cases. And then he laid out a specific organizational plan with leaders over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, leaving only the most difficult cases for Moses. Let's read Exodus 18 and 22. "And let it be that every major dispute they will bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear this burden with you." And number five, an administrator would have led the children of Israel, and I find this kind of funny, from the land of Goshen to the promised land in only 11 days, the time it takes to walk between those two places. But the administrator operating in his own strength would have gotten the job done, get this, too quickly. God not only wanted to get the children of Israel out of Egypt, but he also wanted to get Egypt out of the children of Israel. That took 40 years and two generations. You know, Moses, being a server, simply followed God in his timing. God needed obedience more than ability, and God gave Moses an anointing to be able to do the job. So remember, there may be times in your life when God calls you to do some task, and your first response is, "Lord, you know I'm not gifted in that area." No matter. God will equip and anoint you for that job. You'll be able to do, with His help, that which you'd never be able to do on your own. Don't overuse the knowledge of your motivational gifts as an excuse not to do what God calls you to do. Remember, the anointing supersedes your giftedness. Well, the gift of the server, what a wonderful gifting to have. Be sure to total your worksheet and follow the instructions on the website. Now here's our announcer to tell you how to contact us.
It's that time again. Time to say goodbye. But before we do, let me invite those of you who have not received Jesus as your personal Savior to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says in Acts 2 and 21, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I am calling on you. I pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart and be Lord over my life according to Romans 10, 9 through 10. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I do that now. I confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now declare, I am now reborn. I am a Christian, a child of Almighty God. I am saved. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Please visit us at our website at Victory in Living Ministries, again, all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, according to Numbers 6:24-26.
Well, there are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so. But I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment he forgave me, he took away my heavy burdens, and he gave me peace within. Say it'll never make me doubt it, it's real, I'm gonna shout it. For I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Now I don't care who tells me salvation is not real. Though the world may argue, they say we cannot fail. But the heavy burden's lifted, the vile sins are gone. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment he forgave me, he took away my heavy burdens, and he gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it, it's real, I'm gonna shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know.